14 when he says, you got to stay away from unbelievers. You can't team up with them. You can't get aligned and end up misaligned. You cannot be well-intended and then miss the mark. Because again, Grandma was right. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going. They're going to be a whole lot of people who said, Lord, in your name, we did thus and the other. And he's going to look at them and say, but I don't know you. We don't have no relationship. And so if we're going to start out 2016, right? And I really, those of you who've been with me a while, know I really try to stay away from those you know, rah-rah preaching moments, you know, because 2016, you know, whatever you didn't do in 2015 don't necessarily mean you can all of a sudden figure it out in 2016 because the calendar changed. To be honest with you, I don't know no wisdom like that, you know. And that's why, again, I'm really sorry that this church wasn't packed for Thursday night service. I'm really sorry because, you know, and I said I was, you know, we're going to be very mindful of this, but wherever it is that the rest of y'all went, you could have went there after you left the church. The ball don't drop till midnight. All that stuff leading up to it, the same thing you're going to do after. You were drinking, smoking, and joking before. You'll be doing. But why not worship God? At least establish a foothold. I mean, seriously, I mean, think about it. We're gonna, and I told myself this. I said, what's going to happen Sunday morning is that we're going to walk into the church like we solid for the Lord. But the Bible says to never forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Whatever you were going to do after midnight, you could have did that after church. Because whatever you do after the day, it's still after. It don't mean when we leave here, we're not going to go do something stupid. We do silly things. We do entertainment things. But to worship God is a priority. For those who are in that relationship, I could not have imagined myself anywhere else. There's no way. Nobody could have convinced me to do anything but worship God on Thursday night. Why? Because I'm in a relationship. And I'm not in a relationship with you to a greater degree than I am in a relationship with God. Because the fact of the matter is, my relationship with you, all of you, is because of God. And it's the same thing. Those of you who got married, you had sacred marriages. You got married with the word of God. Those of you who are brothers and sisters and cousins and aunties, all of us, we done been baptized, we done been prayed on, laid hands on. It's because of God. Then how does God keep getting kicked to the curb when other people in your relationship want to do non-godly things? It can't keep happening like that. Your decisions must be your decisions. You need to say, well, listen, I'll meet y'all about 12:30. Well, I'll see you Sunday afternoon. Well, you know, we're going to go to such a, well, I go to church on Sunday. I'll see y'all after I get out of church. Well, you're going to miss out. I ain't missing out on nothing. Same thing with Bible study. You know, this year has to be about your decisions. And with that, he says you cannot make good decisions if you teamed up with folk who don't think like you. How many of you have been persuaded to do something? All of us have. Somebody come along and say, no, come on, check this out. And no, mama told me not to come. That ain't no way to have fun. And they kept talking. You say, well, all right, for God's sake, okay. And it may have turned out pretty decent, or it could turn out horrible. I mean, most of us doing okay. We all got scars. We all have some level of regret. It doesn't have to become the kind you need therapy, but there are things all of us have been in. We say, man, I wish I'd never done that. And it ain't no bad thing. You know, you got to write no memoirs. But the fact of the matter is, Paul is absolutely right. You cannot be in a good relationship with God and other folk who are not in the same kind of relationship hinder your relationship because you're in relationship with them. Few of us ever do anything by ourselves. And you think about that. So what is your testimony to your children, your cousin, your brother-in-law? T- to the people you claim you've been witnessing to when you just invalidated your witness by not being in the right place at the right time? It would have been far better for you to show up at about 1:15 and say, "Wait, you just getting here?" "Yeah, I just left church." "Huh, you serious?" That's what they would have said to you. "You really went to church first?" "Yeah." The Hennessy don't taste no different. The 7-Up don't taste no different. The rum balls, none of that stuff going to taste no different. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, there's a lot of things we could have done. It's just what we do about decisions. Again, I'm not a critic as much as I am a trainer. I don't judge. Was I disappointed? Oh, sure, I get disappointed just about every time I come through one of them doors. But I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. I'm a trainer. And my point to you is make a decision. If you want to pray, if you want to fast, again, God must be the root of it. You know, if you're going to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then you ought to do that. If you're going to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, then you ought to live like that. Because again, your testimony is your testimony. And everything about you is a testimony. Whether you're really saying anything, the visual part of your life is probably the most accurate part of your life. You know, the old saying, you know, do as I say, not, you know, what we see you do is probably what you really are. And so what Paul says, and it's critical of us, is that you have to be very careful that the relationships you have with people do not corrupt the relationship you have with God. Now, he goes, and I'm going to hurry. He said, well, because goodness can't be a partner with wickedness. Light can't live with darkness. There can't be harmony between Christ and the devil. How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? Again, I would bet you that a good percentage of the time we spend with people are not necessarily the same people we have relationship with in Christ. Some of us have that problem in our own household. You know, I'm honored by God. I'm so blessed when we have couples, husbands and wives, and I see their children. You know, that's a good thing. But there are some of you who come here partnerless and have partners. And I know you're in a battle. It's got to be a battle. But you're fighting a good fight, and that's what Paul told Timothy to do, fight the good fight. You know, there are probably more people that most of us know outside the body of Christ than we know in the body of Christ, at least far as our local assembly goes. You know, I know you know other Christians, but as I said to them the other night, you know, the average church in America got about 75 folk in it, and 45 of them come to church on Sunday. So a lot of y'all know way more than 45 people. Some of y'all on Facebook, y'all got 9, 10, 1100, you know, friends. You may not know them personally, but you confirmed them. You said yes. And they said yes, so y'all call y'allself friends. And that's way more than 45. As I said to y'all some time ago, I'm just disappointed when I look at our Facebook page and how few friends we have. I think if everybody in the GBC was at least one of our friends, that'd give us a little kickstart. But the reality for us is, Paul is absolutely right, and we got to face that. You can't be partnered with people who aren't in the same relationship you're in and have a good relationship. How many of you ever had a person that you loved or somebody you cared about and somebody else didn't like them? It puts a strain on the relationship, don't it? You know, it's like congratulations, I won't say your name in case people all over the world won't come bothering you. But what if rather than, and I saw your little video, y'all screaming and, how wonderful. But what if when that young man proposed to you, your family would have went, "You got to be kidding. You're going to marry him?" Wouldn't that have done something to you? I bet you wouldn't have posted that on Facebook. You know, if your sister would have walked in and said, "Don't marry him," that would have been a scandal. But y'all were all happy. They were happy for you. So that's going to make your marriage better. You're going to have a good relationship because people around you in relationship appreciate your new relationship. And you'll probably have a Christian marriage. You know, if you don't ask me, shame on you, but if you find some preacher to do it, You know, that'll be wonderful. I do suppose you'll walk down the aisle in somebody's church. I don't think you're going to go down to Justice of Peace. I really think you want a Christian marriage. And I know you're a Christian woman. I think you have good integrity. But imagine what's going to happen in your new relationship if your previous relationship does not align with that new relationship. So you'll be sitting up in church, married 2 years, and your husband don't go to church and you go to church. What do you think is going to happen in your relationship? You come back home and there you go again. You've been up to that church. You go to Bible study. You work with Young Life. Or as you get older, you'll probably start working with the seasoned saints, you know. And every time I turn around, you're up to that church. What do you think is going to happen? How long do you think your marriage is going to really last? And we stood before God and said, I promise him that I. Same thing with all of y'all, those of you who are otherwise aligned, even on your job. If you can't go in and brag and testify about the goodness of the Lord on your job, and the people you hang around, all they talking about is gin and juice and getting loose, and you talking about being high and lifted up, there's some unequalness there. Because here she go again. But not long as somebody over there talking about who got slapped and drunk and who cheated and who, everybody around the cooler having a good time with that one. But you go over there and say, let me pray for y'all. You see what's happening? You can't be partners with them people. You got to learn how to stand alone. But here's what I'll tell you. Standing alone with God is a majority. You're a majority. You really don't need most of them people you're hanging out. I don't know what made you think you needed them in the first place. You brought nothing in the world. You'll carry nothing out. Ain't nothing going to die when you die. It may come to your funeral and say, glad she went first. But your real relationship is with God. And if you're going to be misaligned, you're going to be misaligned. See, I know nobody want to shout right now because we got to think. And that's what I need you to do. I need y'all to start thinking. And start giving me credit because and say, Pastor Wright. Thank you. That's one. You come sit right up here. You did good. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to train you. Because if I make your life better in Christ, everybody around you benefits from it. They may not see it initially. Like the woman said, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. It's nasty, but boy, we get better when you take that nasty stuff. You can't keep taking them old syrupy, sugary medicines, and it's that nasty stuff. You got to hold your nose and throw your head back and somebody got to slap you on the back so you'll swallow it. You'll be all right. If you can just keep drinking that stuff, that ain't number Kool-Aid. You know, they used to make Vicks Formula 44. That stuff was, oh, God help us long through that. As opposed to taking that Creole Motion, you know, I mean, that stuff was different. But you got better. Castor oil. Ooh, Father, every child nightmare. Is when you see that stuff boiling on the stove, you're like, oh, come on, they can't be finna do that. I never get, you know, I'm from the South, and in the South, Sister Harmony, they shouldn't think that after Christmas and Thanksgiving, you need a good cleaning out. That's what they always tell you. And so my cousin, you know, we had all this food and stuff, you know, and so my aunt looked at my cousin and said, boy, why you eating? He said, because I know if I eat all that stuff, y'all gonna make me drink castor oil. So he passed on cake, ice cream, and figgy pudding. My aunt said, oh, you going to take it anyway? He said, no, because I don't need no cleaning out if I ain't putting nothing in. But, I mean, the point of the matter is this. We're at a place where the struggle of the church are internally generated. We've lost our credibility because we started it right here. So we can get it back by starting right here. Again, I look at everything y'all do. Everything. I look at how you walk around the table. I look at how the choir sings. I watch the ushers. I look at the deacons. I pay attention to all of it. Because I have a responsibility over all of it. And what I'm telling you is, we all got to do better. But the most consistent thing I see that affects all of y'all are relationships. It's people you hang around. I know in the choir, there's a crew here and there's a crew there because, you know, you're comfortable in that relationship. And I tell people this all the time. Every church is a family church. So people stop that about family. Everybody, you know, you need families to make the church. But the relationships, the people that we're aligned with, those who are more like us more. Yeah. That was the easy one, wasn't it? Yeah, those who are more like us more. People going to stop liking you because you're different. How many of you ever been told this? Oh, you're changing. Mm-hmm. And you knew why. Mm-hmm. You knew why. And when they told you that, you started internalizing the cost. You start thinking to yourself, I don't want to lose them. Come on. How many of you either slowed down, sped up, vacated, or further engaged because of people you were gaining or losing? It's relationship. Some of us, when we realized as we were drawing closer to Christ, our relationships got stronger, more consistent, so we got more excited about it. We look forward to coming to Bible study because you're going to be there. We look forward to going to church because you're going to be there. We look forward to doing ministry because you're a part of it. And then on the other side of that is the bad side, because you were getting more engaged and they weren't calling you. They stopped texting you. They stopped, and then you start thinking, wait a minute. Oh, I see what's happening. So you put it in reverse. To get the phone call, you made yourself available. You see what I'm saying? Relationship. So don't fool yourself to thinking that this verse don't apply to you. It applies to all of us. What has to happen is, second point, your determination has to back up your decision. God bless you, Brother Larry Walker. You didn't know this was coming today, but that's why what you said really struck me, because I knew it was in my teaching. That man made a declaration this morning. I ain't going to rehash it. The leaders were there. They know what it was. But he's saying that his determination now backs up his decision. If, in fact, I am going to be a disciple of Christ, forget about the next level titles. I want everybody to realize something. That your basic you is your best you. Let me explain that, because some of y'all look at me funny. Your birth certificate does not say deacon. Your name Larry. Your basic you is your best you. Because trust me, when you die, we don't get to bury Deacon Larry Walker. We bury Larry Walker. We put some names out there. But your basic you is your best you. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. When the man came up here and called him good master, he looked at him and said, why are you calling me good? I'm just Christ. I'm good at it too. You know, the basic you. Because when you start getting enamored with titles, you actually lose you. You know what I'm saying? Build your basic you. You'll always be a better you, and you'll be better fit for the title. And the reality for most of us is that we're not as determined based on our decision as we are determined based on our company. If you join an organization, how many of you are part of an organization of some kind? Organization? Anything? Only three of y'all. The rest of y'all lead boring lives. Y'all ain't part of nothing. If you work for a company, you're part of an organization. Well, y'all got to broaden your thinking. Okay, so whatever that organization's motto, creed, doctrine, dogma is, you kind of have to subscribe to that, right? If you work for a company, this is what the company expects. You have to kind of say amen, okay? And so wherever that goes, that's kind of where you go. However it shapes up, that's kind of how you shape up. But at the end of the day, were it not for a God of purpose, you wouldn't be a part of that. So stay with the root thing. God sent me here. When you get that job, to God be the glory, not just because you got the job, but how you work on that job. You got to always remember that the divine purpose is the most important purpose in everything you do. Why am I here? How many of y'all saw The Equalizer with Denzel? How many of y'all saw that little blurb that they had at the start of the movie? The Mark Twain quote. The two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day that you realize why you were born. Those are the two most important days of your life. Mark Twain ain't God, but it makes good sense. Because in the divine order of things, you becoming Deacon Starling McKenzie is the will of God. Danville Regional, all them other jobs you've had, all of being the father of Darren and Cameron, all of those things, wonderful, but that's all divine order. But when you get to the next level of life and the next thing happens, it has to be divine order. And everything we do has to stem from purpose. And you can't let relationships that are not productive, are not positive, are not progressive, hinder us. He says to the church, what happened to you that you don't run no more? It was relationship. He said, who got in your head? Who started messing with you? That's what he said, isn't it? He said, what happened to you? Who told you stuff like that? Who told you you couldn't be magnificent for God? Who told you you couldn't lead the people? Why did you let them corrupt your thinking when God has said you can do all things? They minimized you, God maximized you, and you fell for the okey-doke. You lost your determination. Because I'm convinced of God that most of us, I really believe this, and I might be crazy, but I believe that most people, when they walk down the aisle of somebody's church, really want it. I don't think anybody comes to Christ initially saying, how can I mess this up? Or what's the least I can do? That's why when people come in, they want to get in choirs. They want to do this. You ever know, when people come new, they got all that energy. They want to bounce off the ball. Ping, 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 ricochet rapid. And it's somebody in the church that starts the okey-doke. Girl, don't let them get all your money like that. You ain't got to go up there every time they call you. You ain't got to go to church every Sunday. I've been around here 20 years. I don't mess all that stuff. I don't listen to the pastor. Don't let him. Come on now. How many of you can honestly say that some of the worst distractions you ever encountered came from folks sitting in here? You got excited. You signed your pledge card, and somebody peeped over, you going to get that much? And you say, well, child, not me. I got bills to pay. You created that. I got other things to do with my money. You created that. The money wasn't yours in the first place. I ain't going to be sitting up there every Sunday. I'm part of this, that, or the other. I'm president now. I worked hard to get to the top. You created that. You know why? Because you took time from him for you. When he should have got all your time and he'd have gave you some things. God promotes better than anybody. Our problem is we're not interested in God's promotion plan. How do you know that, Pastor? Because we violate Matthew 28 all the time. We don't go and make more disciples. Y'all ought to be glad I'm here. Come on, stay with me. And people have distracted us. And Paul says, what happened to you? Man, y'all were doing so good. Y'all were singing vibrantly. Y'all were serving vibrantly. Y'all were going from house to house. Y'all were sharing with each other. And somebody got in your head. Relationship. You married wrong. You joined the wrong club. You sat in the wrong pew. And it hindered you. And the pastor started looking around going, where is everybody? Because we were packing it out one time. Bible study was rolling. We had 50, 60, 70. And now we're down to 20, 30. And the weather changed. And I'm not talking about atmospheric weather. Our determinations were altered because there were relationships that were different. Why you ain't coming? No, I got Bible study. You can go to Bible study anytime. This is the one night affair. You know, she ain't gonna be in town, but tonight, Beyonce gonna be here. We're gonna ride to Charlottesville. We going to JPG, we going to the John Paul Jones Arena because Smokey gonna be there. This the only night he in town. That's the only time he gonna be close. And it's Sunday. The concert don't start till 8 o'clock. But you miss church. And the money you paid to go see Smokey or whoever, that's a reasonable tithe. Or we going to Carol Winds or King Dominion. King Dominion always had that little concert series. And so we'll drive all the way to Richmond, the other side of Doswell, actually, so we can hear Patty. Patty, Patty. But we won't go to choir rehearsal on Wednesday. You go hear somebody sing, but you miss your obligation to prepare to sing. Or we give our money, we cast our pearls to the swine. Because organizational dues and responsibilities, car payments that you created, and business arrangement, you can't tithe no more now because you got to catch up. So what used to belong to God, oh, thank God from whom all blessings flow, but what used to belong to God, oh, he opened up windows and poured me out, but what used to belong to God now goes to GMAC or Nissan Credit. Huh? Come on, talk to me. Somebody got in your head. And what you promised God, you renegotiating now. Well, Lord, you know I meant. That's why I said, don't be making no resolution. Just keep your promise. The one you made way back when. You don't have to do this every year. Every year, new resolution. No. You made him a promise when you were 8 years old. You think he forgot? No, because you keep reminding him. Lord, you said you be my hedge and my protection. Why? Because you hanging out in places you ain't got no business hanging out. You don't need God to be a hedge all around you if you keep yourself out of some places. Lord, get me home safe tonight and I'll never do this again. No. See, again, don't let stuff hinder you. Am I helping you? Y'all ought to be the best Christians in town. Y'all got one heck of a pastor. Anybody who come to my training ought to be dynamic by now. I'm serious, because I got it going on. Yeah. Here it is. He says, well, you can't have a valid relationship when there's so many things against you because of the relationship. I got some friends that used to be my friends, because I realized they weren't my friends. So I stopped calling them. I stopped hanging out with them because they weren't helping me. Amen. I mean, even when I was a trooper and we all wore the same uniform, we weren't all together. Some of them guys didn't like me. And I knew it. I figured, okay, but we got a responsibility to back each other up. Now, we'll do that part, but after that, you gone and I'm gone. I didn't have to eat lunch with y'all. You know, he used to get on the radio, 1606, you going 10-7 with us? No. I don't want to eat with y'all. I don't trust y'all. And y'all don't really like me. So I can go to my house and eat with people who like me. Or at least say they like me. You know, they taking my money and stuff. But I mean, you know, even when I was in the military, I didn't eat with all the sergeants. There's some sergeants I know went to the dining facility right at 11:30. And there are other sergeants who came in at 12. And then there was a crew of us that came in late. After the soldiers went back to work, the dining facility manager, which used to be the mess sergeant, he let us come in late because we were a crew. And we talked about soldiers and training. We genuinely wanted to make each other better. So them the guys I ate with. And I was like, hey Mitch, what time you going to eat? Man, y'all go ahead. I got some stuff I'm trying to do. Oh, okay. And anyhow, yeah, I knew. Tut, 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 bye-bye. Please know this. Whether you good, bad, or indifferent, folk going to talk about you. But just make sure that what they say is valid. You know that song, let's give them something to talk about. But to excellence, because you have this discipline that they don't have. You have a training they don't have. You have principles they don't have. That's why they talk about you. Don't let them talk about you because you're a bum. You know, make them envy you. Because they really want to be you. There's one of my favorite movies, Smoke and the Bandit. And there's a song they sing in the movie about they call you the bandit. Folks say they despise you. But deep down inside, they wish they were you. I like that song. Folks say they despise you. And maybe they do. But deep down inside them, they all wish they were you. I know people want to be Leroy. And it's a good thing to be. Trust me, my wife will tell you. Come on up and take the mic, baby. Tell them. Being me is a good thing. I like being me. That's why I take care of me. But you can't let people take what you said, remind you of it, and it becomes a lie. That's why I congratulate you, my friend. I'll be watching. He said, what happened to y'all? Relationships messed you up. Who beguiled you? Who convinced you that serving God, trusting God, chasing God was not worth it? He said, you don't run no more. That's what this is. He said, you don't run no more. You're not early anymore. You're not excited anymore. You're not singing like you used to. You got frustrated because other people were frustrated. They were frustrated because they didn't want to give more. They wanted to give less. You got frustrated and started giving less. You were really the apple of their eye. They really wanted to be you. They wanted to sing like you and serve like you. You took it the wrong way. And rather than running faster, you slowed down. They weren't trying to catch up. What happened to relationships? That's why he said a mother will turn against a daughter. He knew it. He said in a house, a daughter going to turn against a mother. A father and a son going to have problems. He knew it. Why? Because there's something different about those who made a decision and have determination and others don't have it. You got to stop sitting around here, sons and daughters of Christ, waiting on relationships. You got the relationship. Your real life is in Christ. I know y'all look at me sometimes and I say stuff, but I'm honest. When I say the heck with stuff and stuff, some of y'all, oh, pastor shouldn't say that. Shut up. I'm just putting emphasis on it. There are some people you just got to say, the heck with that. You holding me up. I remember when I was in the military, Brother Thomas, you know how this was. You know, we go out on those runs. You know, we run. And there are two kinds of runs. There is the group run. There's when you run by platoon, unit, and stuff like that. Then there are the runs when you got to pass PT tests. In the group runs, we 45, 50 deep. We count in cadence, which is a rhythmic thing we do. Left, right, left, right, left, right. So everybody can be on the same. And if you start losing people, you circle around and get them.
so we can keep everybody together. You know, we're trying to train this discipline of team. But when you got to pass PT test, it's every man for himself, God for us all. You don't slow down and wait on nobody. You're trying to make a time so that you can qualify for the next thing, because your PT scores affect promotion and assignments and opportunity. So the better guy, the faster guy, the guy who did more push-ups and more sit-ups and finished first got better opportunities. Because they said, man, this guy scored 300 on his PT test. You got a guy who passed and scored, I think, the minimum, I can't remember, I think two something, one, whatever it was back then. But anyway, you don't think when they got to the Department of Defense in the promotion section and looked at those, the guy that scored the 190 got the same look that the guy that got a 300? No, sir. But you can't keep slowing down and affecting your possibilities because you're trying to be conformed to a crowd. Leave them. There's a place called a finish line. See you when you get there. Come on now. We are in the best situation of our lives because we're here. A lot of people ain't here that are not in the same situation you're in. Trust me in this. God promotes when he sees commitment, consistency, conformity. God, that's when God promotes. So you can't walk around and say, they don't let me do nothing. God ain't gonna promote you. You don't do nothing. You don't want nothing. You haven't committed your way. You haven't applied. You slowed down because they slowed down. You can't pull up on the parking lot and see who's at rehearsal and decide whether you're coming in. You can't stand at the back door and see who's already here and decide how you're going to serve. You have got to make your own decisions. You've got to have your own determination, and you need to understand your direction. Which way are you going? I told my wife that we got to have to make a decision. Harmony, you're a music person. We have a choice to make as to what our theme song will be this year in the church. We have two choices. Our theme song can end up being All Around the Mulberry Bush, or We're Climbing Jacob's Ladder. We have to make our choice. We're going to either be All Around the Mulberry Bush, the monkey chased the weasel, which means nothing. We just all around the mulberry bush, the monkey chased the weasel. The monkey thought they were having good fun. Pop goes the weasel. Or our theme song can be, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. Every round goes higher and higher. We are, I like that one better. But some folk gonna make me choose bad. Some folk gonna make me sing All Around the Mulberry Bush. Jasmine? Raymond? Addison? I'm telling you, the choice is ours. And what each one of us must decide is what song we gonna sing. Y'all remember television shows back in the day, Beretta, Petticoat Junction, Greene? Those songs that they sang or played was called a theme song. It told you about the story. If you sang Greene, y'all know I like Greene. If you sang Beverly Hillbilly song, it tell you the story. Beretta, Don't Go to Bed with No Price on Your Head. Don't do it. It told you what Beretta was about. Gunsmoke. Matt Dillon walking out. Pow! You knew what it was all about. The 18. You know, everything. You knew. When the music came on, you knew. You could be in the other room and hear good times every time you meet a payment. Good times. And you running there. Oh, good times on Florida Evans. No matter how many times they almost made it, something happened. But the Jeffersons were different. The Jeffersons made it. They got to the deluxe apartment. You knew. And so it is with the church. People going to know us by our theme song. They're going to either say Brookville is all around the mulberry bush or Brookville climbing Jacob's ladder. And people who don't like our song ain't going to sing it. Amen. See, y'all look, y'all laugh at me. I know theme songs just in it. You can name just about any show. I know the Flintstone, meet the Flintstone. They're a modern Stone Age family from the town of I know it. Wherever danger still appears, then you shine on your underdog. I mean, I like that kind of stuff. But see, my realities are not based on those realities. My realities are based on the Word of God. I can do the recreational thing, but I'm better at the relationship. And so here it is. He says, y'all got to make a decision. He said, you can't do that. Then he says, it really comes down to what you want. Are you still with me? Now, let's flip our page back. Stay in chapter 6, but let's go back to that verse we worked on in verse 3 because it makes sense. When he says, let's try real hard to live our lives in such a way. Okay, y'all with me? Did I confuse you? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Go back. He said, let's do whatever we got to do so that nobody will miss it because we missed it or because we misrepresented or because we were misunderstood or because we were misled. Miss. All the missed things can come in right there. So he says, I've made my decision. I did determination. He said, but I also have a duty. See, that's what a lot of y'all have to realize. You have a duty. That's why you can't go to every New Year's party. That's why you can't go to everybody setting up. You have a duty because you said you were a deacon. Deacons can't hang out like that. I'm sorry. Either you forfeit being a deacon so you can go ahead and do that and nobody can say it. Then you can say, I'm a former deacon. And when they say, why? You say, man, because I miss getting drunk, hanging out with y'all. And they'll say, well, God dang. Is it that powerful? Because it is an aphrodisiac to some of this stuff. There is a certain stimulus we get from certain relationships. Amen. There's no need to looking around that. Nobody gets to miss that. There's certain things that certain people bring in our lives just because of who they are and what they do. That's how people get addicted to gambling, alcohol, sports. Okay, you know, there are a lot of addictions, not just drugs. Some people are addicted to food. They like how they feel. And y'all remember the movie Austin Powers, the first version? Y'all remember Fat Bastard? He said, I eat because I'm unhappy, but I'm unhappy because I eat. It's in the movie. See, I remember stuff. Think about what he said, I eat because I'm unhappy. You know, he's a big old fat guy. He said, but I'm unhappy because I eat. That's an addiction. He couldn't help himself. He was crying when he said it. See, again, you have to realize where your fight really is. That's why the Bible says, we war not. Our real fight is not against God. It's in our flesh. Don't get mad at your pastor for trying to draw you closer to God. I'm just trying to help you win. You need to come to church more often. You need to train harder. You need to give more. I'm trying to help you win because otherwise you lose. Ain't nobody talking to me now. He said, we got to make sure that we understand our duty. The president of the United States took an oath. I watched it. Again, I fell in love with the Barack Obama era. I've never watched any president like I've watched this one. I've never watched a presidential conference what do they call it? State of the Union and all that kind of stuff. I sit there and watch him, and that guy come down that hallway. It's something about the way he walked. I was watching the other day, he's in Hawaii on vacation, and he was out on the beach, you know, walking. I said, look at that guy, man. You know, of course, not only the Secret Service, you know, making everybody move and all that kind of stuff. But he's on vacation walking with confidence. Got the little girls with him, you know, and they eating ice cream. You know, everything the president do, people watch it. But I've never watched the president, but I am impressed with his confidence. I don't agree with everything he said, but his confidence. But he knows when he took that oath to be the president. See, and I really think that y'all need to understand, when you made an oath to God, you got to uphold that. It ain't Michelle's job to make him a good president. She married a husband who became a president. He had an oath he got to keep to her. And when Malia and Sasha were born, he took another oath. And what y'all need to understand is the Bible said, let your word be your bond. Everything that comes out of your mouth ought to have meaning. And until it means something to you, it don't mean nothing to us. And they don't need you getting mad at us because we heard what you said. And now you won't do what you said. You're a fraud. And nobody makes you a fraud like you do. He says, so you got a duty to live in such a way that the people you say you're trying to minister to don't get misaligned. I don't look at you and say, really? Is that what the 2016 church looks like? No, thank you. Again, you say it. I asked earlier, some of you all have came in since, but I asked, is everybody in here in agreement that Jesus is Lord? And we said, yes. And then I said, do we all agree on his word? And we said, yes. So what's our problem? Why are we so scattered? Why are we so misaligned? Because we don't really keep our vows. The church should never be herky-jerky about the move of Christ. We can't make more disciples when we don't have no disciples. Amen. Disciples worship God. Disciples tithe. Disciples serve. Disciples love. Disciples follow orders. We ain't doing too good in none of them. So what kind of church is a church that ain't a church? We're a social club and we're not even a good one of them. Most people don't pay their dues. They don't come to the meetings. See what I'm saying? So he says, well, I'm about finished. He says, well, you have a duty. He said, now watch this, verse 4. Again, I had to go back and look at this. In everything we do, here's the key, we try. Watch this. Can I work just a little bit more? Ask yourself. Remember several weeks ago, we went to Peter, and Peter said, make every effort. Remember that? We kept talking, make every effort. And I asked you, what do you consider every effort? Most of you who go to work have jobs. You really do this better than you know you do it. When you get ready to go to work, how many of you wear uniforms where you work at? A uniform, prescribed uniform. Okay. So you have to wear that. You know, you have to put on the smock, the shoes, all that kind of stuff. And some of you polishers, you know, in the military, we spit shine our boots and press, you know. But that's part of making every effort. How many of you brush your teeth? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Especially if you're going to be talking to me. How many of you comb your hair, if you got hair? Okay. All right. Shave. Okay. Watch this. Clean the wax out of your ears. Okay. Put on deodorant. Okay. Take a bath. Use soap. Okay. See, do you realize that's making every effort? All of those things you're doing are not just for you. How many of you have ever been talking to somebody and conscious of your breath or conscious of the look? That's why it's simple to get this God thing right,
Because it's really what you do. All of y'all care about how you look. All of you care how you smell. All of you care what it's right there in front of you. So in everything you do, try. How many of you brush your teeth more than once a day? Comb your hair more than once a day? See, you're trying. You look, how many of you walk by a mirror and go, ooh. You know, or clean your nose out and go. Come on, don't play me now. I'm real. Y'all real too. You know, you sneeze and ain't got nowhere to, and then you go. That's what the dry cleaner from here. They ain't fixed that. But you're trying. How many of you have ever looked at somebody and can tell they're not even trying? I told them at watch night the other night, that new hairstyle they got out there, the natural bushy kind of thing. When I first saw that, I'm thinking, man, that girl ought to comb my hair. My daughter said, Dad, that's a style. You know, I talk loud sometimes. And my wife and daughter always said, Dad, that was too loud. But I didn't know you had to go pay for them to do that. I thought you just got up in the morning and said, the heck with it. No, you pay people to do that. And for some people, you know, you look at it and you go, yeah. And then there's some people you go, no. What I'm telling you is, you all are cheating yourselves, and you don't have to. He said, then everything we do. Now, here's the kicker. When you have promised God that you were going to serve him in ministry or that you were going to do a thing, that's extra. And it ought to get your all in all. When you told God you're going to unlock the church doors and make sure the bulbs are here, and you told God you're going to, then don't waffle on it because it get hard. Bless you, my friend. Do you know why most things fall in disrepair? Because people don't keep doing maintenance. The easiest thing to do is the maintenance. Trust me. If you paint one shutter a week, eventually all of them get done. But if you wait 4 years and then look out there and go, God darn, them shutters look bad. Now you got a problem because some of them probably have dry rotted. Some of them are peeling. Now you can't just paint. You got to scrape and do it. See, but if you keep them touched up, it's easy. My wife the other day, weather got nice. She don't come down. You know, now would be a good time for you to do some of that stuff outside. Rudy, I looked at her. I ain't say nothing. I ain't that stupid. But I looked at her. So I went outside. I said, you're right. I went outside like I was going to do something. And hid. I took the leaf blower and started it up and just kept going like I was really doing something. Walking around the house. All I was doing was, I didn't care where them leaves went. I stayed out there for about an hour and a half. I looked around, she's standing there like this. I ain't going that way, I ain't crazy. So when I did go try, you know, you've been doing that a while. Ain't nothing else you're going to do? No, I ain't finished. My point is simply this. Some of y'all try to act like y'all doing something for the kingdom. Making all that noise. Walking around here posturing. You ain't doing nothing. And then you look around and see me standing there like this, you get mad at me. Because I done figured out you okie-dokie. No. You have a God who requires dedication to ministry. Amen. Not me. This ain't no constitutional. All those in favor. It's God's stuff. And he says, so now we got to try real hard. Watch what he said now, and I'll pause. He said, we got to try real hard. Here it is. To show that we are true ministers of God. See, now you've been minimizing the thing now, haven't you? You've been walking around here trying to prove yourself a good disciple. No, that's second grade. You need to understand that the real calling is to prove yourself a true minister of God. Not a Brookville disciple. Brookville disciple don't get no pecking order in heaven. What you need to do is prove yourself a true minister of God. And that means even if mama don't agree with you, or honey bunch don't agree with you, baby, I got to take care of this God stuff. Why taking you so long? Why are you up there at church all the time? Because I have a calling. The old church used to put it this way, a charge to keep and a God to glorify. You know what's going to happen to Greater Brookville if all of us get the elementary things done? Whoa, we're going to be off the chain. If we all just remember to try hard to prove ourselves as true ministers of God. And that don't mean you need a license. And no, you can't sit in one of my chairs. Sit right where you is. Because you can do just what you want to do from right there. And still, God be glorified. But it's our responsibility. Again, that decision, that determination, the direction you go in, and the duty are critical to every believer. You can't show up to church at 11:25 for 11 o'clock service. You done missed too much. You can't show up to Christian Academy at 10:45. We started at 9:45. You done missed way too much. You wouldn't do that at a concert. Come on now, talk back to me. If you know that the concert started at 7:30, you'd be there about 6:45. First, you got to park. You know, you've taken all this into consideration. Well, you don't have to park way down there. I'm going to have to catch the shuttle to get way over there, but I got to get in my seat. Because you don't want to have to keep going, excuse me. You know, you buy a ticket. Can I help y'all learn something about buying tickets? Always buy the aisle seat. I don't never buy seats that are not on the end. I don't care what I have to pay for. I am not going to be going, excuse me. And then you get some old drunk by the third quarter, excuse me, at my seat right there. I mean, sir, I'm, you know, sit right here, and all you got to do is stand up and step back. And when they get way down there, because they in seat 29, I'm in seat 1 or seat A. I don't buy no seats down there. No, sir. No. If I buy group tickets, everybody else might wind up going that way. But this seat, mine. Y'all sit, Dad, where you sitting? Right here. But where I'm at? Down there. I mean, I try to buy where we all together, but hey. Let me tell you something. If you don't do anything else this year, why don't you give God the same attention to detail that you give other parts of your life? That's all I'm saying. Because a whole lot of y'all didn't come to church Thursday night. You went somewhere. Now, some of y'all might be at home praying, good sister said. And I believe that might be good, you know, good truth. But I'd rather you came here and prayed with me. But okay, but what I'm saying is, you do all that stuff I just mentioned. You brush teeth, comb your hair, wash face, you wash your cars, you vacuum your floors, you make up your bed. All of that is for you. All I'm asking you to do is do the same thing now for God. Pay full attention to the ministry. Get up early. Be consistent. How many of you have a policy where you work that you can only miss so many days before they call you in for a review? Okay. Have you ever been called in? Yeah. You're not the one I should have asked. Okay, rewind. Well, at least you were honest. Okay. But what I'm saying is, most of us try to avoid that. How many of you ever get right up to it and say, okay, I can't miss no more? You know, and people do that. So what I'm telling you is, if you can get to your job on time, you can get to church on time. If you can stay and stick it out for 15 or 20 years, you can make it in the body of Christ. Ain't no such thing as, I can't go, find me another church. You put up with a whole lot more on your job, and you stick and stay on your job. And I can tell you this, there's a whole lot wrong with folk in the secular world. Ain't nothing wrong with Jesus. I find no fault in him. So ain't no need you hopping out of church because you don't like the gender. I tell you the theme song, that's our choice. But you stuck with it over there with them. And you don't get to have your way near as much as we try to let you have your way here. We try to make it accommodating. Come on, talk back to me. And the reality for us is we are just not trying hard enough. And can I tell you the real internal spiritual secret? It's not that hard if you do what you're told. How many of you had your grandma or your auntie or somebody look at you and say, you can make your bed hard? You make your bed soft, but what's the bottom line? You the one got to lay in it. And so what he says is, again, everybody in here, and I got to ask again because people coming in, and I just need to know, how many of you truly believe that Jesus is Lord? Okay, that's everybody. And how many of us believe and agree that this is his word? Now, that wasn't everybody. So I'm going to try one more time because I didn't like that. This is it now. How many? Come on, give me something to work with. Yeah. So what's the problem? So we don't have to argue about the mission statement. We don't have to argue about the vision. We don't have to argue about pastor wanting too much. We can just say amen. Pastor, what verse and chapter? It's in the book. I got you. Okay, pastor. We ain't asking nobody around here to be in a cult. You ain't got to drink no Kool-Aid. You ain't got to swear no allegiance. All I need you to do is agree that the word is true. We keep the book open. And so when we're looking at the decisions and the determination and we're looking at the direction, the way we're going is follow him. Amen. So when people say, well, where the church trying to go? We following Jesus. That's easy. We ain't got to try to explain the whole ministry. It's a little complicated in some regard, because then we got to help you to understand the bills we pay and the amount of money we do in insurance and why we got to fix this and fix that. And you know, that'll get confused. But the answer is we're following Jesus. But where he trying to go? We trying to follow Jesus. Why are you doing that? So we can keep up with Jesus. And then again, the determination is I'm going to run on and see what the end shall be. I didn't start to stop. I start to finish. Amen. You know there's a difference between finishing and stopping. Nobody plays three quarters of a football game. We play four. Nobody plays three periods in basketball. We play four. You don't play 16 holes of golf unless you're playing real bad. Then you say, well, just put me down something on that hole. But you do 18. How many of you have ever demanded to get your money's worth? That ought to be everybody. You don't cheat me. How many of y'all ever have them bring you some food out and say, it don't look like the picture? You do know that's why they take the menus. So you can't complain. You don't bring me no. Listen, my wife and daughter, they laugh at me. I like to eat steak on Sunday. We go to the restaurant, and I like prime rib. They bring me a piece of prime. It's supposed to be 18 ounces, and it looked like this. I said, excuse me, y'all left some of my meat in the back. And I said, I'm not laughing. Just about every manager in every steakhouse in Lynchburg know me. They see me, hey, how you doing, Reverend? Fine. The usual. And they bring me up. They always nod it all. That's these ladies. They always bring me a good cut, don't they? I don't even have to say nothing now. They come and go, how you doing, Reverend? I'm fine. And they know. You ain't going to cheat me. I was in Red Lobster, and I ordered salmon. They brought me a tadpole. I said, excuse me? baby. Ma'am, while you, you know, and you know, I make a joke out. I say, while you wasn't looking, somebody took half of my sandwich. Could you go find the rest? And they'll go, oh, you want them? Nothing? And they'll be nice to you. Now, you can't go in there slapping your fist and cussing. You got to smile. And they bring me stuff. They like me because I'm nice. They know me. They know I'm the preacher over there at that church. But I know how to get what I want. And you get what you want by being nice and smiling. That's why he said, we got to live our lives in such a way that people see us and want to be like us. They'll want to know where we go to church. How'd you learn to live like? How'd you learn? Because somebody taught me. I was trained, and I can do it because I've been trained. And then people will be the path to our door. Because they'll say, well, we don't get that where I am. So, well, you better come on over here. Okay. So, again, it's the decision. You are in a relationship with God. Everybody else is only because God made you. The only reason you got a twin sister because God made you. So don't let her become bigger than God. Amen. The only reason you got a sister is because God made you. Which one of y'all was first? You. I'm praying for you. But God, because God made her, give God. The only reason you have that beautiful son is because God made you. So your mama ain't your God. Reverence God. Love your mama. Do what God told you about your mama. But don't let nothing get in front of God. And I hear people give it away all day. No, nothing come before my family. Wrong. I'm sorry. I know you love your mother. I love your mother. But God come first. And I know you love your children. But God come. You can't. You better be careful what come out of your mouth. Because what comes out of your mouth, especially as it pertains to relationship, should never overrule God. My children come first. No, they don't. No, they don't. God come first. Everything that we do is because of the relationship. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever. He loved us and established a relationship based on salvation, because if you ain't saved, you're not in a relationship. See, the amens are getting thin. But I know I'm right about this. Because I heard him say, my Father and I are one. Be one with us. That's relationship. And then he said, once you get in, don't get out. So you know that now, and you'll live that. And you can't keep waiting on misaligned folk to get you in line. I told you earlier, and I'm going to tell y'all because I told them, you better know that in this walk with God, you're going to lose some friends, some family, some fame, and fortune. But don't you ever lose your faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if you don't want to make God happy, you're a danger to all of us. Keep him high and lifted up. Do like the psalm writer declared, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I will bless the Lord. Make him happy. Sing praises to him. And if anybody around you got any sense, they'll join you. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Why? For he has done marvelous things. There's not one person in here that God has not been good to you. Not one in here. Even if you had it and lost it, he was good to you. If you're young but now you're old, he was good to you. Because some folk didn't get to live as long as you did. And they would love to trade places with you. So take your pains and take your disappointment. Take the heartache. Take the lies. Take the rumors. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because he loves you. And don't you ever stop serving him. It's your duty. He said, we got to make sure that we prove ourselves true ministers of God. Not just good choir disciples,
not just good deacons and good preachers, but true ministers of God. Make our calling and election sure and walk worthy. You don't walk worthy dragging your feet. You don't walk worthy coming every other Sunday. You don't walk worthy complaining and throwing rocks and hiding your hand. You don't walk worthy trying to get other folk not to go to church, not to serve, not to sing. How you going up there, y'all? Anything he say, y'all running right up behind him. Y'all all up in Mitchell pocket. Trust me, my wife and daughter got my pockets full. There's no room in the inn. But you know, all you need to do is do, and I'll give Thomas Rowe folk their credit. All you need to say is not I, but Christ. I'll give him credit for that one. Ain't many more credits I'll give him. I'll give him one for that one. You ain't following me. We're following Christ. Y'all, anything pastor say, y'all just amen. No, pastor saying it right. Amen. He got the book open. All right, I've gone over my time. We'll catch up. We'll be all right. I know y'all thinking, first Sunday, we're going to be here a while. But what'd you come for? You didn't come just to leave, did you? What did Deacon Jed Clampett say? Take your shoes off. Sit a spell. Now, don't take your shoes off yet, unless you got them sliders, you know. Have I helped you a little bit? It's my intention to do so. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for these who started out with us and even those who've come along the way. Thank you, Lord, for our extended church beyond the walls all over this world. Thank you, God, that they thought it not robbery to hear what you are saying to the church. Now, God, because we are in relationship and not just in the room, because we realize, Lord, that there can be no fruit without the root. Establish us. Take us deeper. Make us stronger. More vibrant, more visible, more victorious. Each day of our lives, let us remember that victory is ours. And God, we thank you today that our ears are open, our eyes are open, our hearts are ready to receive. But Lord, don't let us live another moment as a fraud. Make our calling and election sure. That's what you told us. And that's not just for the minister, that's not just for the pastor or the leadership, it's for the body. Every one of these children matter. And God, because they all matter, what a difference we can make. Thank you, God, today that you have allowed us to live long enough that on the third day of January, early in the year, we heard what you said. Now, God, we'll do what you said. And we'll keep doing until doing is done. God, we love you. And thank you so much for looking beyond our faults and meeting our every need. Thank you for the forgiveness that allowed our eyes to open up this morning and our feet to hit the floor, because we could have been dead because of the wages of sin, but you forgave us and gave us this day. We bless your name. And Father, we thank you now because the possibilities are endless. We can do all things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, come on, let's start scholarship off great this year. Let's do more than